Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
In Acts chapter 22, we see God issuing a great challenge to the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, if you look at it closely, you'll see that this heavenly challenge was literally a challenge to change. A challenge to change from knowing about God to personally knowing God. A change from walking by sight to walking by faith. The impact of the change that took place in the life of the Apostle Paul still is having impact on the society in which we live today, some 2,000 years later. The Lord has always challenged people to change. Paul is saying, I accepted God's challenge to change, and for 30 years I've been a changed person. But I'm looking for a crown of righteousness, which God will give to every man that accepts His challenge to change.
In recent months, the American public has been encouraged to vote for the candidates who promised to bring change to American politics. But we've heard nothing about the most important change that is needed in the heart of every man and woman. In today's message, Dr. Wood shows us from the Bible the challenge to change presented by the God of Heaven. Here now with today's message is the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
Have your Bibles, turn with me please to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, I'll be reading you the first 16 verses. I'd like to give you a setting for this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is giving his defense in the temple before all the Jews that are gathered there to worship God. He's being charged with trying to change their religion. He's being charged with heresy against the religion of the Jews. He's been teaching the New Testament truth of Christianity. This is a very powerful passage of Scripture as Paul gives his testimony about what happened to him and why his life is such a changed life. Listen to his testimony. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest thus bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass, as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou should know his will and see the just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be witnesses unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture today and identify certain elements in God's challenge to change us so that we might recognize His challenge and respond properly to it. If we learn these lessons, if we respond properly to God's challenge to change, we'll find purpose for our lives. And we'll fulfill that purpose. And in fulfilling that purpose, we will live a happy and a satisfied life, regardless of what's going on around us. Whether we're in storms, whether we're in shipwreck, whether we're in prison, whether people are cursing us, we can still be at peace and have the joy of knowing we are doing in our lives what our God has called on us to do. The text is found in verse 10 of what I read to you this morning. Look at that verse. This is the Lord speaking. And I said, what will thou have me to do, Lord? Paul is saying, at the time that my conversion took place, I was submissive to the challenge of God to change. So I asked God, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. This is so significant. Because if we look first at Paul's credentials, you're going to find some interesting things about this man. His spiritual education was the first point of his credentials. All his life, he'd been educated in spiritual circles. This is a man that knows so much about religion. When he became a young adult, his father had the foresight and the money to send him to Jerusalem to study at the feet of Gamaliel. This passage tells us that. He was a leading theologian of that day, and Paul's making preparation for a religious life. Paul's background was completely religious. He's not an atheist. He's a man that believes there's a God up there. He's a man that believes that there's supposed to be some sort of relationship with that God. He proved by everything that he did that he was extremely interested in religion. As a matter of fact, he said to the church at Galatia in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 14, I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. He said, you know, I went further in the study of religion than most of those around me. I even went off to school to get a graduate degree from one of the leading theologians of the day. And so here is this religious man, and many of you here are religious. You don't doubt that there's a God out there somewhere. You've been raised in churches. You've heard your parents talk about God, and you would certainly never say that there's not a God out there. But it's interesting to me that the Lord God of heaven looked at this very, very religious man and challenged him to change. You see, God wanted him to change from just knowing religious things and knowing about God. God wanted Paul to change and have a very close personal relationship with him. Could it be that there are people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning that know all about God? You know Bible verses. You've been raised in a Christian home. You're going to a Christian college. And yet you don't have that very close personal relationship. If that's the case, God issues to you through His Word and His Holy Spirit the same challenge to change as He issued to this very religious man, the Apostle Paul. God is saying to him, you're religious, but you need a change in your life. You need to know me personally. We see also much about Paul's secular endeavors. Look at verse 4 and 5. He's talking about persecuting Christians. He said, I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest does bear me witness in all the estate of my elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren that went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He said, look, you know my background. You know how sincere I've been in my religion. You know that I have been an agent for the federal government to stamp out this new religion of Christianity. You know how hard I've worked. You know how the extent of effort I've made to protect your religion, but I've changed. I've had new light shed on the truth of God. I'm not just religious anymore. I have a personal relationship with this God, and I have completely changed my life because I see things differently now because of my encounter with God. And in this secular endeavor, he carried letters from the Sanhedrin. And he was officially endorsed by the Roman government. Here's a guy who had it all. He's got the maximum education. He is a leader in the religion of that day. He's carrying credentials from the 70 rulers of Israel, the Sanhedrin. And those credentials are backed up by government document allowing him to arrest people, allowing him to imprison people. And quite frankly, the conquering government had given him the authority to assign capital punishment. We'll see later in this passage. Now, here's a man that had all the success the world has to offer. And people look at him and they say, wait a minute, you had risen to the pinnacle of a religious life, and now you're standing in front of us telling us you have changed. You don't look like you need to change, but you have completely changed. As a matter of fact, three times Paul tells us himself that he was associated with killing Christians. Acts 22:4, Acts 22:20, Acts 26:10. Now, all of a sudden, this man, who is known as the most ardent fighter against Christianity, a man who literally is associated with putting to death Christians, all of a sudden he's standing up in a public forum saying, guess what? I'm a Christian now. I've changed. There's something different about my life. I'm not working anymore for organized religion. I'm working for God. I'm not working anymore just for the government of Rome, the occupying government of my nation. I'm working directly for God. There's been a great change. As a matter of fact, I'm not killing Christians anymore. I'm giving the gospel to convert people to become Christians. I'm not seeing men die because of their religion. I'm seeing men born again because of their religion. What a dramatic, dynamic change that takes place in the life of this religious leader. Well, just think of all the potential problems he faced. This man is about 39 years old at this time. He has really reached the top of the social ladder in his position, and all of a sudden, he's willing to give all that up. All of a sudden, he's changed because he has seen the real God and understood the real God. Well, he's facing a lot of problems right now, my friends. He's taking on a lot of problems in accepting God's challenge to change. If you ever accept God's challenge to change, I can promise you it carries with it some problems, some things you must overcome, some battles you've got to fight. I wonder how many of those of us here today in this room might need to look at and accept God's challenge to change. Oh, we might be religious with a great religious history, but we might be in an accommodating religion as Paul was. Would you accept the challenge to change knowing that there's a lot of things you've got to overcome in your life? As a matter of fact, look at Paul's challenges, verse 10 and 11 in this passage of Scripture. And I said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? He said, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee what thou shalt be appointed for thee to do. What's been determined. I like that. God's saying to Paul, let me tell you what I have determined for your life. This is a very interesting challenge. God is saying, Paul, you have lived 39 years the way you wanted to live. You've made the choices for your life. You've made the choices of your education. You've made the choices of direction. But all along, I have had a will for you, a way that I'm determined for you to live. Are you ready to accept my will for your life and give up on your will? Now, wait a minute. Paul's not a failure. He's not a man who's saying, I've really blown it. Nothing's going the way I want it to go. In the eyes of the world, he's a total success. But God said, you are not performing my will for your life. I thought about this as I was studying this passage of Scripture. thought about how many times in my life, being a religious man that knew the Lord, I might have been following my own will instead of God's will. I wonder how many of us here in this room today have sought out what God's determined will is for us and accepted that challenge no matter what it cost us. I think this is really powerful and interesting. God said to him, "Arise and go to Damascus." The interesting thing about this, Paul's blind. He can't see. He's been blinded by the powerful light from heaven when God spoke to him. And the men with him saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice of the Lord. You know why they didn't hear the voice of the Lord? This is a very personal thing. God has something specific for Paul to do. There's no need in God sharing this with all those people in this entourage because it's not his same will for them. My friends, God has something very special for you to do that he will tell only you and reveal to you his will for your life if you're willing to follow that will. Paul showed his willingness by asking the question, "Lord, what will you have me to do? I want your will for my life." And God said, first of all, start off by learning to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm giving you an assignment, a simple assignment. Continue on to Damascus and there find a certain man and he'll tell you what to do. It's very interesting. Walk by faith and not by sight. God literally took Paul's physical sight away for a while to teach him to depend on others. And that was to teach him to depend on God to give him the people in his life that would direct him and help him and take him to the right place. This is fascinating because this man was so greatly used of God that he's still affecting lives. But in many ways, he's no different than us. God has a specific will for you to do. And you know, I believe most people, really most Christians, don't find God's will because they're not really willing to do God's will. They got their own plans, like Paul had for this 39 years. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." 15 years later, he learned this lesson God taught him at his conversion. He said, "I'm living my whole life by faith." He said to the people of Galatia, 2 chapter verse 16 of Galatians, "Knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." That came from the mouth of a man who spent the earlier part of his life justifying himself by the works of the law. But he said, it's not the works of the law, it's faith working in me. It's my faith in Christ. It's my belief that God created me for a purpose, and I need to find that purpose that God created me for. He not only taught him very first thing to walk by faith, he taught him to work at being a follower. I think this is interesting. He said to him, "Go find somebody that will lead you, and he will tell you what to do." As a matter of fact, where this story actually took place in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, hear the words, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Interesting statement God makes to Paul. He didn't say there's something you should do. He didn't say there's something I wish you would do. He didn't say I have an option for you that would be nice if you chose to follow it. He said, "Paul, go and you'll find out what you must do." How many of you have any intense feelings about what you must do with your lives? Think about that for a minute. Something that you feel obligated, you feel impressed that you must complete a task or a mission in life. Paul felt that way. And the other thing that God is teaching Paul here, he's teaching him to work at being a follower. No man can be a good leader until he's learned to be a good follower. Here's a guy, 39, at the pinnacle of his career. And God said to him, "Paul, I want you to learn to walk by faith, and I want you to learn to be a good follower. Because I'm going to use you as a spiritual leader that literally changes the world around you." But you can never be a great leader without being a great follower. No man can ever be successful as a man in authority until he's learned to be successful as a man under authority. God is teaching Paul the humility of following other people. And Paul learned his lesson in a mighty way. Paul was a great leader. He was a great leader with great influence. Yet you know what had to be controlled in Paul's life? His pride. Because here's a man who everybody's listening to, even when he was controversial. Here's a man who is obviously articulate at his speech, though he claimed not to be so powerful in his speech. And yet, as we read his writings, we know they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, but they're powerful, convincing writings that tells the church how to work. But you know what? His pride had to be subdued. And later on, we read that God gave him a thorn in the flesh, some physical malady, to keep his pride under control. Now, how do you think a great and strong leader would feel about having a set of circumstances that were very bothersome to him? Wouldn't you think that it would make him mad? Here's a man God greatly uses who pens 2/3 of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's got a problem, and he's prayed 3 times, and God won't heal him. Wouldn't that be a great occasion to get mad? God's doing these things in my life His way and not my way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ must rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What a great change took place in this man's life when he was challenged to change by God. He's no longer a self-sufficient, proudful man. He's a man pouring his heart out to those around him, and he's talking about his passion for their conversion. He's a humble man who's given up all he had for the service of Christ. Praise the Lord that Paul accepted God's challenge to change from a religious person to a truly righteous person who found his righteousness not in himself, but in Christ. For he said in Philippians 3:9, I must be found in Him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of the God of faith. Paul came to the humility of saying, it's God that works in me. Paul, through his ministry life, said, I am the weakest of all the saints. I am the least of the least of the saints. I am the chief of the sinners. He got his pride under control by the things God sent into his life that are all things that none of us would want unless we changed and realized that God not only allows these things sometimes, He arranges them for a reason. And Paul understood that. Paul not only understood it, my friends, he accepted it. And he changed from being a complainer about things he didn't like to a man who accepted his circumstances because he knew with those circumstances there came the grace of God. Well, the last thing I'd like for you to see are Paul's conclusions. When he made this great change at the challenge of the Lord, he asked himself this question, what am I prepared to do today? Here's how he answered it. He said, I'm prepared to suffer loss. In his testimony in Philippians chapter 3, powerful passage is used to study. Verse 7 and 8, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Those things I had, which I wanted, all of a sudden I realized I needed to give them up, give them over to the Lord. Those things that I worked so hard for were not the right things. I was not going in the right direction. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Here's a happy man who's saying, everything I thought I wanted, I've given up because I've got a burden to change and serve God. I've got a priority that's different in my life than the priority I had for the first 39 years. And I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. That's what he was prepared to do. He was willing to suffer to truly serve God. And he did suffer. But look at the impact he made. And where is he today? He's in heaven with the Lord. And his rewards are still coming in. You know why? He accepted God's challenge to change. Here's what he perceived for tomorrow. This is why Paul accepted God's challenge to change. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. He's right at the end of his life. This is after 30 years of ministry. He's now 69 years old. He was 39 when I read you this earlier passage. Now he's 69. And he said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He said, you know what? I accepted God's challenge to change, and for 30 years I've been a changed person. But I'm looking for a crown of righteousness, which God will give to every man that accepts his challenge to change. God challenges all his children to change. Then after you decide you will change, he gives you his holy calling for your life. When you accept that challenge to change and you receive God's holy calling, it's obvious that the rewards are beyond our comprehension. Because Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Well, what if you're a religious person today, and God challenges you to change? Paul was a very religious person. When God challenged him to change, what would you do? What if you were a very sincere person today, and God challenged you to change? What if you believe some things about Christianity that are not in concert with Scripture? Would you be willing to change? What if you were in the majority and most people thought you were doing right? Paul was in the majority of the religion of his nation. And everybody thought he was doing the right thing. And he was a sincere person. He thought he was doing the right thing. But when God showed him truth, he changed. Well, I pray that many of you this morning who are religious and here today will hear God's challenge to change. And you'll respond as the Apostle Paul responded. Because, my friends, therein you'll find the peace and joy of truly serving God. God is still issuing every day his challenge for religious people to change. His challenge for us to follow and serve him no matter what it costs us. Are you willing to do that? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story of your wonderful servant who accepted your challenge to change. Help us, Lord, to do likewise. In Jesus' name.
May each of us be willing to accept God's challenge to change that comes through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Today's message was preached by the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood. Are you interested in getting college training, but you can't afford to be away from home? Now Bob Jones University offers a variety of courses in many different fields through the Office of Extended Education. Most courses include video or audio recorded classroom instruction, while selected graduate and undergraduate courses are offered online. Just go to bju.edu and click on Distance Learning under the Academic menu. Or if you have questions, you can contact the Office of Extended Education at 1-888-BJ-EXT-ED. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to join us next time for a message by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones, on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.